Hi, everyone.
Hi.
We're Laura and Aria. Welcome to our podcast, Thoughts from Limbo. It's founded on the realization that that's all that life is, a giant state of limbo, one where we never have perfect information and there are no linear paths. All we can do is our best to navigate this big, beautiful mess. So come ride with us.
We bring you insights from successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and experts. People from different walks of life who can provide some of the answers to life's many questions and have a powerful story to share. They're all here to empower you, feed your curiosity, and help you navigate life, a life in limbo.
As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you. In today's episode, we talk to content creator Vishakha Soda. As a young woman who is consistently refining new skills and polishing her craft, she defies the old adage, jack of all trades, master of none. It was a really interesting talk. Vishakha seems to have done it all. From acting to modeling to fashion design, her savvy managing skills were noticed by fashion designer Jatin Varma, who hired her as a general manager at the young age of just 19, and there's been no stopping her since. She's now a full-time freelance blogger, a content creator, and she owns her own marketing agency in Canada. Vishakha shares her eventful career path and talks to us about what it's like to live a day in the life of an online content creator and the truth behind her Instagram feed. It's a candid conversation in which we discuss the beauty of non-linear career paths, the future of online content development, and the exciting and upcoming world of freelancing. We hope you'll enjoy. Hi, Vishakha, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm actually very excited and looking forward to have this conversation with you girls.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, we wanted to start from the beginning because you've had such a great career journey. We wanted to go to the very beginning, like where you're from, what your background is, etc.
Right. So I am from Mumbai, India. And it's just like any other cities like Toronto or New York, you know, one of the major cities. Everyone has their own mindset and every society is framed in its own way. I don't know about other cities, but especially in India, we have, you know, do one thing, you know, you have to master in one thing, like jack of all trades, master of none, which is, I don't know, 19th century or maybe even before, the quote we've been using. And if I could not relate to it, I know there were millions of other people who just could not relate to it. And it was a struggle as a kid growing up because I could never be happy doing one thing. It's like someone's giving you one food every day, one outfit every day, the same look every day. Can you do it? No. You know, it's just something I couldn't do. And I had that curiosity of learning different things. And if I'm learning something new, I would want to do something with it. I can't be like, okay, I've learned my ABCs. That's it. I'm going to put it in a box and keep it aside, but I need to use it, right? So that's a little background of how I eventually became everything that you just mentioned in the start of having my own company, blogging, content creating, of trying to discover new things. And I didn't even know I was breaking the norms when I was doing it. I thought I'm doing something wrong, you know, because every time you're going against the norms, you're doing something wrong. No one's coming and encouraging, saying, okay, you're doing right, because you are going against what society has a mindset about. So it was difficult. I had my major breakdowns. It was crazy. My parents at a time were questioning what I'm doing, but eventually I'm lucky to have them, that they supported me seeing what I'm doing. But yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
Because I read that it was a fashion designer who hired you to be a general manager at like age 19, right?
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad he did that, because when he did that, I realized I am not a fashion designer. I did a one-year course, and on my final exam, we had to stitch a pair of pants. And instead of putting the zipper from outside, I stitched it the opposite. So if you want to unzip or zip, you have to put your hands inside your pants to unzip it. So I realized somewhere that this is not for me. But then this designer picked me after a, you know, 7-day internship at Lakme Fashion Week. He's like, you know what, you're managing. Like, I've never managed stuff. You know, I don't know if I can do that. But I was so good at it. And I'm like, okay, this is great. And my life changed after that because I did my master's in business administration and management. But that is the time I realized that, okay, this is my calling. And I was the only one managing the entire city. There was no intern. There was no one above me. It was just the designer in a different city. That's Delhi. I was in Mumbai. And because Mumbai is the hub of Bollywood, we had magazine sourcing, celebrity sourcing. I'm like, I'm a kid. I don't know anything. In fact, my very first call was to Grazia magazine. And the manager was Pasham. That was her name. And I'm calling saying, hi, is that Grazia? This is regarding a magazine. And she's like, dude, I didn't even know anything. I didn't know anything. That was my first step in the world, my very first phone call. And I'm like, okay, Vishakha, you need to get your shit together. But I think incidences like these are what helps us grow and learn from what we have done, you know, because for the world, it was a girl at 18 became a general manager, but only we knew from inside what's going on, you know, because it's so much pressure and because everyone has this crazy expectations that just go off. She's like, oh, she's achieved so much. I'm like, dude, I don't know anything from the inside, you know? So, yeah.
And then where did you go after that, after the general manager experience?
So I did that for about 3 years, and that shaped a lot of me. In fact, even today when I speak to, he's become a very good friend. Jatin Varma is the designer. His wife is Gauri. And even today when I speak to them, they're like, Vishakha, you've groomed and you've changed yourself and you're so different today. And I think those are the little experiences that brought me today. I have like done everything. I've ironed clothes, I've broomed the office space, you know, I was cleaning, I was doing intern work, I was being a spot guy, I was doing everything, I was handling the finances. And I think that is what helped me groom. And I feel instead of starting in a big firm, if you start with such small experiences, that is where you get your, you know, that is what helps you groom. You won't just go from intern to associate to manager. That process is not easy going. It's a roller coaster. You fall a lot of times. You do the groundwork. And I think till you don't do the groundwork, you just can't reach the top. So that is what actually shaped me to reach where I am today, to decide I want to do management, to decide that, you know, mm-hmm. I want to grow in management or marketing and operations. So that was a major, I think, life-changing bit for me. And that everything you see after that is because of that one thing.
And so describe your career now. Where are you at now? And what would you define your role as, if you can?
Actually, there's no one role. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of it. So one is I'm a content creator where I'm on Instagram. I started a podcast. I did like 4 episodes and I'm like, okay, I think I need to take a break because I was doing a lot of things. I'm like, okay, let's take a pause. I'm doing Instagram as content creator. I'm blogging on my website right now. Voiceover artists. I do some voiceovers here and there. In my marketing agency, we do website, social media. We just recently finished 2 websites. Social media, I'm handling 2 to 3 clients in India, Canada, both. I think, yeah, more or less, that's what I do. I also shoot products for brands, not necessarily creating content for myself as a blogger, but also for brands as a photographer. And I'm constantly learning new things. Just because I'm doing a bunch of things right now does not mean I know everything, you know, because the moment you know it all is when you crash. So I learned how to shoot. I learned how to use Premiere Pro, Adobe, Lightroom, everything on my own instead of depending on a photographer. Because then that is his point of view, not what I want to post. I just don't want to be dependent on someone else giving me their point of view, or their edit version and just post it. It's my platform. It's my way of communicating to my audiences. So that's what I do right now. Yeah.
Would you consider yourself an influencer?
I don't think I'm an influencer. I'm a content creator. Mm-hmm. I talk about things from my heart. And if someone likes it, they pick it, great. I would say that would be a recommendation and not mm-hmm. an influencer, because I don't influence everything that I do, mm-hmm. you know? So there are times people are like, no, probably we didn't like it. So I'm not an influencer. Influencer is someone you would trust blindly, everything they would do. But no, I don't think I'm at that point yet. probably in near future. But right now I'm a content creator where I create content for brands, talk about what I'm doing or what I'm loving, even a lot of organic content and not just paid stuff. Someone likes it, great, you know? So yeah, I don't consider myself as an influencer. It's not a bad term though, but not yet.
No, not at all. I mean, there wasn't social media, what, over 15 years ago, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's like all of these things are so new that
sometimes
even I now, like the reason why I started freelance writing, for example, was because in a lot of my previous roles, so whether it was in consulting or when I, like in my background in law, I did so much writing anyway. Like if I had to take the skills that I've polished over the past few years, it's definitely my writing skills, in my opinion. And so I was like, okay, I'll start freelance writing. And there's so much stigma, I feel, from some people, the minute you say that you have a blog, and I'm like, what do you think a blog is? Like, I'm not, it's just me writing, like expressing an opinion about something. And whereas some other people, it's the complete opposite.
Just like a personal diary, which is online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I feel. If it's not a paid collaboration, it's just a personal diary. And because I feel there's nothing wrong, and a lot of people judge bloggers like, oh, this is paid, that's why you're talking. Of course, if you're liking the free content, if you're liking the organic content, you should also support the paid content, because I am not here spending my entire life giving you organic content and not earn out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know why a lot of users come saying, or maybe they don't interact on a paid post. Like, dude, you know, you should support, and you should still support the paid content, because even we need to earn. You're getting your job salary. This is you know, our thing, and we don't have a fixed paycheck every month, and that's difficult. So yeah, I mean, people need to change that outlook of, oh, this is a paid thing, so she's talking about it. But yeah
100%. I think it's just still relatively new, or at least to some people, I guess. It's hard to see that, I think, because for me, now that I understand it more, I feel like it's been around for years and it changes so quickly.
I think our parents' generation has not seen it. So it's just one generation new, you know?
Yeah.
And even I think I was still in school when Orkut came out, the very first social media platform. So all of us have actually seen Insta to come in the world. So it is pretty new. And I have had brands, when I reach out to them, they're like, oh, so you want free shoes from us now? I'm like, no, you have to pay me to promote. I am not in this business for freebies. So, and if you're not okay with influencer marketing, or if you don't believe in the concept, at least don't insult it. I am not going to come and tell you you're doing crap work, or there's so many shoemakers, why are you doing it? You know, you're polluting the market. I don't say that. I respect you. If you're not interested, you can say, maybe I don't like the concept, or there is another way around it. Even for my parents, when I started it, of course, it has to start with free photo shoots and not earning anything out of it. Like, what are you doing? You're just clicking photos every day. What are you doing? And even today, like, they pay you for, you know, posting a picture. Like, you earn for posting a picture. So it's pretty new. They respect it, but I don't think they fully understand the power of it.
Yeah, I think it is conceptually difficult. Like, I read the other day that the youngest, I think the person who's made the most out of YouTube videos was like a 9-year-old who became like a millionaire from, I think it was reviewing toys YouTube. And it was something like, I think it was like in the $40 million or something from YouTube.
Well, there's some people like, that have like 60 million followers.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Paid for that. There are TikTok accounts where it's a monkey unboxing, but people send gifts to a monkey and he's unboxing and he earns so much. They have so many fans who send him packages just to unbox it, just to see the monkey unbox your package. So people send him the packages. And then brands also started sending that monkey packages, because there was so much reach. They have so much reach. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. And what is it that motivated you to do it? What is it that gave you the idea and you were like, yeah, do you know what? This is something I could do. Like, what were the pros to you of that?
So, when I was a kid, I was an actor back in school. So worked on major TV commercials like McDonald's and Santro cars and everything. So I was a kid model and I was a part of a lot of these. But then because I was this intelligent student, my mom's like, okay, you know, concentrate on studies because that's what you'll need in future. Then I got back to acting after my graduation. I did a lot of TV shows, but slowly I realized that that's not something that will probably be with me forever. You know, I don't know. I just took a step back. I wanted to study more, get a job. And the only thing that could still keep me in that passion zone was becoming a blogger. So I can still be in front of the camera. I am in charge of my own thing and I can still have a job. So that's how it started. I had a full-time job and on weekends, this is what I used to do. I used to, you know, create content. So literally my schedule was leave for work at 9, come back by like 6:37, hit the gym till 8, do a live stream. I was a live stream coach. So do a live stream for half an hour, have dinner. Then there was a second live stream with another company and my day used to end by 11:30. So that was my day starting at 8 to 10:30. And then on weekends, I used to create content for Instagram. So my weekend used to be, you know, shoots or hosting events for brands or something. So there's not a single day that I sat saying, okay, it's going to be, you know, Netflix and chill. I don't remember doing that when I started.
Okay. So it was super organic. You just really enjoy the creative aspect of creating content.
I loved being in front of the camera. You make me do anything. Mm-hmm. And I was not that creative in the start. Even today, I struggle. There are days where I just can't do something. There's so many failed shoots, but I think I'm getting better. And I don't think creativity is something that you're born with. You have to research a lot. You have to try things. You know, a lot of people say, I am not creative. You're not gifted with creativity. Some are, of course, but you can still develop because it's a skill, you know? And I just started developing that by learning different softwares because still I don't know how to use Photoshop or Lightroom. I don't know what all possibilities are there in this frame or this video. So I learned all of that on my own and I started researching a lot, followed a lot of creators who inspire me. And that's where today when I post something like, oh, wow, this is so creative. I'm like, really? You know, so I think it's a constant process of being creative, but just that enjoyment, that satisfaction I got being in front of the camera. I'm a Leo. I love spotlight. So I couldn't help it. But that's where it started. Just like, okay, I want to be in front of the camera. But today, this year, I took it full time. So yeah, it just flowed.
Yeah. And do you think that because there's so many things that you need to know, like there are new trends that come up, whether it's on social media or just online, just general, there are new opportunities come up so often. Do you find that you have to invest a lot of time in researching, reinventing yourself, training in a new thing? Or do you tend to focus more on what it is that you enjoy and then outsource to a team?
So, see, after all, social media is technology and technology keeps evolving. If you don't evolve with it, you're just going to be stuck there. People are not going to like you. For example, like a full-time job, okay? If you're doing the same thing, you're not going to get promoted. Someone who's constantly upgrading themselves, learning new things. Like if you have a new client on board, right? Like for law, if you have a new, you have to do research about them. You have to learn different ways, go back in time and see, look at, you know, different cases that are similar to the client and then come up with new strategies. It's the exact same thing, be it blogging or any other field. You have to keep evolving and learning more to get more attention. It's just one click. People can unfollow you. It's not a paid subscription that they'll think before unfollowing you. There are millions of people out there. So to be still constantly liked by someone, you have to constantly evolve and keep doing new things. Like Instagram came up with Reels. Everyone's like, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. But everyone did, you know? And right now that's the only way to grow. So if you don't, you're going to be left behind. Yeah. That's about it.
And are these things that you learned naturally by doing, or did you take any courses? Because I've seen so many like social media marketing courses like every day just come up. So did you do any of that?
I didn't do a social media marketing course. I just learned the softwares because even in social media, I feel everyone has a different thing to say. Do this, do that, use 30 hashtags, don't use 30 hashtags, post more stories, don't post more stories, you'll spam your audiences, post twice a day, don't post twice a day, post thrice a day. It's just so much. But that is something that is your perspective, you know, if your audience likes posting more times, just do it. It depends on your profile. But skills like softwares, you need to get a course. So I did that on Skillshare. I finished four courses. I did four. I did Photoshop, Lightroom, Premiere Pro, and three. Yeah. Yeah. So,
oh, cool.
And one for how to shoot myself, how to shoot self-portraits. So yes, I did take up courses, but those were from certified, like Adobe was certified Adobe person who was teaching it, not some random person just showing different techniques randomly. Because YouTube has, if I search something on YouTube, YouTube will show me that video. But if I don't know that this feature exists, how do I search on YouTube? So I would highly recommend, if you want to learn something like that, take an entire course from start to end where you get an introduction to how do you progress by learning every single thing. So that's a proper course. So yeah, I did that.
Okay, cool. That's really good advice. Where do you see the industry headed? Do you think it's going to be more video, more images, more writing? How do you think it's going to evolve?
In terms of writing, I think it will be, of course, because you need to write. Even for Instagram, you have to have captions. If you're just putting an emoji, no one's going to, you know, like whatever. But something which is short and to the point and which is more engaging and relatable. You can't keep going on and on and on. Like if you're talking about a skincare product, you can't say that, okay, this skincare product has vitamin C and this and that and blah, blah, blah. No one understands that terminology. But if you say that this is for acne and this has helped me and I'm using it for a week, try it, I will pick it. You know, but if you're telling me the ingredients, and even brands sometimes need to understand, okay, you have ingredients, but just tell me what it does. Don't tell me what is in it. You know, so in terms of writing, I think that is what is the future, because people want to know what it does. If you're comparing photo and video, I think both of them has its own charm. Of course, everyone's saying video is working a lot more. But I think when you shoot in a fun, creative way, even a photo picture talks a lot more than doing a long 15-minute video for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But overall, just shorter content. Not someone does not have time to read, like, you know, 2 pages blogs or watch a 15-minute video till it's not a movie or starring a celebrity. If it's just a nobody, come to the point, talk about it, and in the most creative, or even if you're not creative, the most engaging way. Like I've seen a lot of dietitians talk about how to reduce belly fat, 5 ways, tuck, 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 done, you know? And I think that is what really helps in writing an entire blog about having a subtitle and then entire paragraph of 10 lines talking about it. No, I understand from the heading, know what it is. Like, don't avoid sugar. You don't have to tell me again in 10 lines. So I think that is something that I've seen a lot of attention to such posts.
Yeah, see, I don't love being in front of the camera, but even with writing, there are so many opportunities for script writing for videos. So like, even if you don't like being on camera, people who have skills that go into videos, like whether it's writing or whether it's graphic design or whatever as well, there are so many skills that go into it. And what would you say is like the biggest advantage of working for yourself?
I think the biggest advantage and the biggest disadvantage, because just yesterday I was talking about this. The biggest advantage is, of course, you're working for yourself. You don't have to answer someone. You know, you can do it at your own time. You have the liberty to travel and make your plans whenever you want. But that's also a disadvantage, because there's no pressure from above. You know, there are times I've just spent days in my night suit sitting on the sofa watching TV. I'm like, yeah, my husband, yeah, she's like, don't you have to work today? I'm like, it's okay. You know, I have content for next 5 days. I've already shot. Big deal. But I would have rather done something in that time, you know, maybe research something else. So it's advantage and also disadvantage. You're not reporting to anyone. If I don't post 5 days on Instagram, no one's going to tell me that, okay, you've missed the deadline. It's on me. You know, my engagement would probably fall down. So yeah, it works both the ways. With my clients, when I'm managing a social media account for a brand, so that happens that, okay, I have to, it's the month end, I have to plan for the next month, you know, I keep a target of 15th of every month to plan for the next month, but it usually goes to 29th. I'm like, okay, 2 days left, Vishakha, finish it. So yeah, those deadlines work on the other side. But when it's only me as a blogger, it's sometimes Like there's a stack of boxes lying around in my living room, which I have to talk about on my stories. And it's just there for 2 weeks now. I'm like, okay, no, you can't do this. You know, like today you have to do it. So since we were talking today for the podcast, I'm like, no, since I'm already in front of the camera, my morning started in front of the camera, I'll continue. But if I don't start my mornings like that, I look shabby and I'm always chilling. It's difficult.
Oh God, I can relate. This is basically the same for us. It was like, okay, today we're going to be productive. We're going to do stuff. I'm wearing a shirt. She put a shirt on and then you look at the joggers and I'm like, yeah, the waist down does not look the same as the waist up.
You know, I just saw this reel. I don't know if you've seen it where people are like, I wanted to show you outfits I didn't wear for COVID. This, love it, I would wear it. You know, there were these outfits that they wanted to wear. I was thinking of doing a reel where the outfits I actually wore during COVID, you know. I don't love this, but this is what I lived in for 6 months. And they were just 3 outfits for the entire 6 months, you know. So that is more relatable. Good enough to make a reel after the podcast.
I actually thought that all my nice clothes, I'll keep them. I won't touch them. And then they're kind of just sat in my wardrobe and I haven't worn them. I kind of love it though.
Yeah, I love not going out. It's good. I'm in my own space.
And you're in Canada right now, right? That's where you're based.
Yes, yes. I'm so happy the weather's getting better. It was so cold.
Oh my God, yeah. Like
I had to shoot in minus 20 degrees outside. And I'm wearing, finally it's getting better. It's raining today. So I can see spring, summer's coming in.
And my next question was going to be, because you dictate the pace at which your career goes, really. Yeah. What would be like your short and your long-term vision for it?
I really don't mind settling down anywhere, but it depends on where my husband wants to go, because I can do the same thing from anywhere in the world. But because he's an engineer, he works at General Motors, so he can't go anywhere. There are only certain places and certain cities that he can work at. So I think that's an advantage for us, because since I'm a freelancer, we can just go anywhere in the world. And I don't have a specific country in mind as of now. I am open to traveling. I think that's how I can meet new people, understand new cultures, where they come from. And, you know, it's just good to know, instead of just staying in your own bubble and doing your own thing all the time.
Yeah, I agreed. I think that's a huge advantage. And in terms of projects, do you have anything that you particularly want to do in terms of content creation?
So for me, content creation is always something that could be more relatable to my audiences. Mm-hmm. So even when I am posting, I don't always, like just yesterday, I posted a story saying, okay, this is how I look when my stomach is sucked in, but my stomach is really bulging out. So anytime I'm creating content, I see to that it's relatable to an average person, because I am an average person. I'm no celebrity just because I'm creating content. And that's what I want to do. Recently, I started a series of how to dress like supermodels of bigger brands, like a Gucci model or a Prada model. A five feet tall girl with, I am not slim, I am healthy, you know, I don't have the perfect figure. So I'm showing people of how you can dress like these supermodels on a budget. These are very like, My hat is from Amazon, it's for $10. My pearl necklace is for $9 off Amazon. So you don't need to spend a lot, nor you have to look a certain way to dress fancy or high fashion. And everyone wants to dress like that. But I've seen a lot of people say, oh, we don't have confidence. It's the height or the skin color or the weight, or I can't spend so much. And that is what I started doing, to be more relatable with everyone. And that's been something that's helping. Even not just women, but men are finding it interesting. Like, oh, I sent it to my girlfriend, now she's following you, you know, or I sent it to my mom, or I got this for my mom. So yeah, something which is more relatable and people can relate to. I don't want to position myself as, oh, she's a diva. Because no, I'm not. I'm wearing this Popeye t-shirt, which belongs to my husband. And this is me. And I, even when I'm on my stories, this is me. I don't put up makeup. I've seen people put up makeup and dress up perfectly to just post to that story, which is going to be there for 24 hours. But just be me. My dark circles are visible. Everything is me, to be natural and have that confidence in someone else that this is normal. You know, there are no other beauty standards. Everyone is imperfect. There's no perfection unless you get surgeries. Everyone is doing that. So don't do that, you know?
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think that's a really healthy way to view it as well. I feel like my favorite type of people are always people who are at least slightly self-depreciating. Like, I do so many stupid things on a daily basis. I don't look great most of the time. And I just feel like, just let's be candid, people. Let's be candid.
That's important. You know, instead of just showing the good side to other people, it does make someone's day miserable. Saying, oh, look, wow. You know, look at her. Look at me, you know. But everyone is vulnerable. I was recently dealing with anxiety and I started talking about how I'm having sleepless nights, how I'm not able to work, and these are important things to talk about. I also am planning an entire video where I'm actually cleaning my house and cleaning my bathroom, saying this is the other side. We don't, just because I'm a blogger, my life is not a luxury. I'm not always having pretty hair and fancy clothes and going around clicking pictures. You know, we are normal people, and I want to break that stigma, because audiences, I have received messages from some followers saying, oh, you look very rich. I'm like, no, you know, every month is a struggle. We don't have a fixed paycheck. There are months I've only done $1,000. It's a very small amount. So just because you see something, that's not real life. And that's why I keep talking about, like, I found this mirror for just $10 and I love it. It looks very pretty in the house. So that's what I talk about, that you don't, and even if you're rich, doesn't mean you just go around spending like a crazy person. You have to, it's not about being cheap, but you have to have that value for money and not go crazy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I would agree. I think that's such a good message. So just to have some final questions before we round off. What are three things you want to improve on or work on in the next 5 years?
One is stop putting so much pressure on myself, because, like, appreciate myself a little more, you know. Second is, it's okay to have lazy days. Stop feeling guilty about having off days. And even if it's 2 days or 3 days, it's okay. And the third is, I am a crazy perfectionist. So, like, even the stick notes, if I have two stick notes, even if a little is slanted, I'm like, okay, no. Or if my husband puts the oil bottle a little the other way because I've put these stickers, I'm like, no, the sticker needs to face front. So I need to calm down on such things. And I think it's okay. I don't have to stress for such little things. I think these are three things I need to really calm down and just accept that about myself.
Yeah, I think they're really good ones. I can relate to pretty much all of them, every single one.
Yeah.
And what's one thing, if you could pick, that you're particularly excited about this year?
This is actually a major life-changing year for me, because I decided to do blogging full-time. I've never paid so much attention to it, like, never planned strategies or never planned content ahead. And if I don't make it this year, like, if I don't see me doing good this year, next year I'm getting a job in Jan, which I really don't want to. I've not worked under someone for a while, but I also understand that I can't just be relying on my husband's paycheck. I'm earning enough right now, but we need to have a family. We need to buy a house. I can't just rely on him because he's doing good. So this is a goal that I've set for just 1 year. And yeah, it's crazy. Like, every day I'm getting, I'm like, okay, do it. But still, of course, it's okay to have some off days and, you know, good and bad days. So yeah, that's one thing for this year.
God, well, I'm confident that you'll do very well. I think I see good things. So yeah, best of luck with it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
We're very conscious that you have a business to run. So we're gonna let you go, but thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a helpful conversation. And just in case anybody listening is really keen to make the jump and give freelancing a go, whether it's in content creation or any other form of freelancing, what's a piece of advice that you would give them?
You have to be extremely patient with it. You know, you can't expect to go freelancing full-time and just feel that, okay, this is going to happen, but it doesn't happen so fast. It's a very slow process. So now that you've already taken that jump, stick by it. okay, don't just go all, okay, nothing's happening, I'm gonna move on. It's gonna take time. So it is a big thing. You have to be very courageous to leave a paying job and go freelance. So since you've already crossed one thing, just stick by it and keep doing it. It's gonna come your way. And never feel market is too saturated. In whatever field you're picking, the market is never saturated. Never. We see new movie stars coming in all day. We see new bloggers coming in all day. There, I've seen bloggers come in just last year during COVID. They have 1 million followers and they're already verified. So the market can never be saturated. So just believe. Like, that's just two things I stand by. Is one is believe. And the second is good things happen to good people. So if you're doing stuff right, nothing's going to harm you.
Oh, that's a really nice, nice message to end on. Thank you so much again. And best of luck with everything.
Thank you. It was just so much fun.
Thank you. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We really hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you. Bye!